Good evening and welcome to the special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay CSD. At this time, I'd like to ask for a roll call, please.
President Steele.
Present.
Vice President Graves.
I'm here.
Director Madison.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Excellent. Thank you. At this time, we'll open up for public comment. The public can comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. There is no public in the audience. We will now close public comment. At this time, I'd like to turn over to our legal counsel, please.
At this time, we'd be adjourning to closed session for conference with legal counsel on existing litigation pursuant to government. I guess I should be recording. Conference of Legal Counsel, existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.98, Town of Discovery Bay Community Service District versus Southwest Water Company Services, Inc., et al., case number
C1201259. Thank you. Good evening. I'd like to return us to open session from our closed session. I'll turn it over to legal counsel.
The Board of Town of Discovery Bay is returning from closed session. All five members were present during the entire closed session. There is no reportable action.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District. At this time, I would like to call the meeting to order, and if you'll please rise with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Carol, roll call, please.
President Steele.
Present.
Vice President Graves.
I'm here.
Director Madison.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Excellent. Thank you. At this time, we're going to open up for public comments. Individual public comments will be limited to 3-minute time limit. During public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. At this time, I have a yellow slip here, and I'll open public comment. Mr. Richardson, please.
It's for the letter that's on the agenda later, N1.
Oh, you want to wait?
You know that?
No. Okay. Thank you. Any other public comments, please? At this time, we'll close public comments and turn over to staff for presentations.
We don't have any presentations scheduled for this evening, Mr. President.
Excellent. Thank you. I'd like to ask the Sheriff's Office for that, please.
About, even though it's technically not last month, it's this month, it's the case that came out last night, the armed robbery at the Dash Mart over here. According to the witness, the suspect came in, held a sawed-off shotgun to the store clerk, took some money, and fled. That's, at this point, all we know. The case has been turned over to investigations. They were out today following up on some leads, but I really don't have anything more than that to tell at this point. Wish I knew more. I know. You're all curious, but that's unfortunately all I got.
AJ, did they find a car? Was that an abandoned car? No.
No.
Find the weapon in the water?
No. up on some leads, but it's actually, you all remember, Spaulding.
I saw the little guy out here floating around.
Yeah, that's him. So Detective Spaulding's out today. We're following up on some leads, so he'll let me know as soon as he finds out anything, but that's all we've got at this point. All right. Now, with regard to last month, in response to two things I want to point out right out of the gate, the suspicious circumstances, there were four, but what you don't see from that are the warrant arrests, two of which came from suspicious circumstance calls. So, again, it's great work from the community, calling things in when they don't look right. I mean, four of them just for suspicious circumstances turned out to be nothing, but two of them reclassified as warrant arrests because that's how they ended up, the case ended up. But it was because of people calling and we found the people. So, thank you to the public and everybody. Please keep calling us when they're you see something that doesn't look right. The other thing I want to point out is the toes. On the page one, there are six. And this doesn't actually show all the toes. There were some of them that were reclassified as other things and didn't make the sheet. I think the actual number is nine. Again, that's for people calling, pointing out the problems with vehicles, whether it's boats or trailers or RVs or just simply cars that are parked too long. Some of those are 72-hour tags. Cars didn't get moved, so we got towed. Some of them were ones in violation of the ordinance, all sorts of different things. So we keep calling those in. And we have a student worker now who comes out usually twice a week and tags and tows. Oh. So that's his part of his job. So it's a nice thing. It's the students. The county requires them to be high school or college students, at least 18 years old. They come out and they write parking citations, tow vehicles, and things like that. So they get a little experience in law enforcement as a possible future career. And, have a job and earn some money at the same time. So, anyway, keep calling us with that. He's doing a good job. Yes?
So they'll tag them and then tow them after 72 hours?
After 72 hours. That's what we're requiring. And there's one thing just to point out. We get a lot of calls with regard to the Disco Bay ordinance. People call and say, they've both been parked in front of my neighbor's house for 3 hours. I want to tow it. There's some misconception about what the ordinance says. I called Public Works and had them pull the old ordinance from, 1982, I think it was, It's not as simple as just saying it's 3 hours. There are two other sections that say if the boat is either being loaded, boat for example, is being loaded or unloaded, say it goes for an RV, it can be there for 2 days. If it's visiting from out of town, it can be there for 3 days. And the only way we can know that is to speak to the owner. So if nobody's home, we have to tread lightly on whether we can tow it after 3 hours. Now it's a different situation. We know who the owner is. We know he's not loading or unloading it. We know it's just sitting there. Different story. But when the facts are unknown, we have to tread lightly because we tow the vehicle and it turns out, hey, I was loading it up. I was going away this weekend. Now we have to return the boat and the trailer, and we have to eat all the towing and storage costs for the taxpayers. So we have to tread lightly on that. So there is that section. So if you see us, if you say it's a three-hour thing, and we come out and we just tag it instead of tow it, understand that there's some unknown factors there, and that's why we can't just tow it. But do keep calling because we're making some good progress on that. Remember to lock your cars. A lot of the best vehicle-related stuff was mostly unlocked vehicles, so please remember to lock your cars and take your valuables out. Don't leave in plain sight. If there's anything else that a particular note this month, it's sort of average. The stats remain the statistically things remain pretty much the same as last month. So unless there are questions from the board.
Did you think the alcohol sale in the letter on the back of the first page here?
Yes.
The Laro gas station or the Safeway shopping center?
That is actually neither. It is we're not allowed to give exact addresses, but it's in the where our annex is.
Okay. Which one are you asking about?
The alcohol sale divider.
We were just talking about that.
What'd you come up with?
It's where our annex is. We're not allowed to give specifics beyond that.
Oh, I gotcha. The north side? this looks a little lighter than last time, or am I just imagining it?
He used two-sided paper this time.
Yeah, we used two-sided paper. No, I think it's the stats statistically comes out about the same. Maybe a hair less, but not a huge drop.
We got 49 is 49. All right.
How was the response time last time?
Actually, it was pretty quick. We had two deputies were in the area on an unrelated thing. One was just entering Disco Bay, I believe, coming down. Was coming down the main drag, coming in, I believe, on Newport. The other deputy was coming in from Byron, so they weren't just a minute or two out. But he was. We've seen the video. He's in and out pretty quick.
And it was due to a 911 by the store clerk.
No, it was actually a 911 from a patron 4 minutes after the guy left. It was around 9:30-ish. The printout on my desk, I apologize. So yeah, there was a bit of a delay in the reporting, which obviously
there's like six cop cars around that store, a little across the street.
Yeah, so it was about 9:30 then, yeah. But unfortunately, there was a delay in reporting.
No description on the guy?
Bike guy.
Wearing the mask.
Two eyes, nose.
Looks like a skinny white guy.
All right, no problem.
That doesn't really narrow it down very
much. Is that the helicopter and the sheriff?
Yeah, we're gone. Chris, you're still in the running.
All right, good. Well, I appreciate your time.
So that's all. Any other questions? There was one over here. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just as for general knowledge, how many officers are assigned to Discovery Bay on a full-time basis?
We have two deputies that are resident deputies assigned to Discovery Bay full-time, and then it's also part of B-32, so there's a third deputy that also patrols
the area.
Yes. Now, as far as if you're talking hours of coverage versus personnel, right. The two deputies are on, each are on 4 days a week. There's an overlap day, and each with is 10 hours a day. So you have specific coverage, 10 hours a day, every day, plus the beat car supplementing that when they're not here.
Right. So there can be an opportunity or a time when there's not an officer in the area.
Yes.
That would be, to enhance that would be the county's responsibility to offer some additional budget money.
Somebody has to come up with more budget money, yeah, whether it's the county or the CSD that's already funding it, source, you can see anywhere, but yeah, it would be additional funds to change that.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Does commercial burglaries
include
I know what two of them are. I just want to make sure I know what the third is. It's misleading. It's unfortunately the way the laws are written. I'll tell you, it's two of the three, and I'm looking for the all three, as a matter of fact. All three were theft of alcohol. So it counts as a burglary because the code section says that if you go into the store intending to steal something, it's automatically a burglary, even if it's a bottle of wine, a six-pack of beer, whatever it is. So it's misleading. People think commercial burglaries. They think of large amounts of property, tools, that sort of stuff. This is just theft of alcohol. And in two of the cases, the all three were juveniles. In two cases, two of them were arrested and turned over to mom and dad with citations. That's what all three of those were. So it's a little misleading as to what they are, but that's what happened. Any others?
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. CHP, please.
Board doesn't mind very much. There's another officer that is actually taking over for me, and he's on his way here.
All right.
Fire can go first. Give him a couple more minutes.
Fine, no problem. Thank you.
If you're chasing some lady down all
day, I think Chief Bird would rather stay here all night.
Yeah, so fire goes this place. Way. It should be. Fire should go.
Sorry. I'm Lieutenant Chief Bird with East Constitution Fire. I represent East Constitution Fire, which is your local fire jurisdiction that extends from Discovery Bay all the way to Byron, including Brentwood and hopefully in between, and Marsh Creek Corridor all the way to the town of Clayton. December, we had 59 EMS calls, 3 structure fires. Only one was anything of significance and that occurred in Brentwood. 0 vehicle fires, 3 vegetation fires, 4 dumpster fires, 8 auto accidents. One of those was a vehicle into a building that occurred in Brentwood, and one was a gentleman fell off of a bicycle out here and required to be flown to John Muir Medical Center. 3 fire alarms, 0 hazardous condition, 1 smoke investigation, 1 odor investigation that was PG&E broke a line while trying to fix it and produced a gas leak for 5 hours because they couldn't fix it. And 1 minor rescue, which was a rather I think would be politically correct term, a lump young lad who was stuck in a swing.
Oh.
Had to be cut out of said swing.
So is that minor as in age or minor as in not important?
Not as in it didn't require a lot of resources.
Okay.
Yes,
or minor, both.
Minor rescue. So with a little KY, he was...
ready to go.
Right out. Yes. Stood right out. Yes.
I don't know where to go from
there. Yeah.
Questions we have here?
In public office.
Good thing the recorder's on.
How's the district doing right now with the changes?
Well, we did receive the grant. We're in the process of bringing back our employees that we did lay off. Unfortunately, 6 of our best employees that we laid off have moved on to other organizations, which is unfortunate. We lost probably at least 60 years worth of firefighting experience, which you just can't get back. So, and they were local people who came from a reserve organization, and now somebody else has got them, and then we'll be using them. Which is unfortunate.
Any questions, comments?
On the odor investigation, you turn around and bill PG&E back for your time?
No, we don't. We don't have a funding, or we don't have a mechanism in place at this time to start doing that, but I'm sure the fire board will be working on that. So we were there over 4
I guarantee
hours.
If I'm digging in front of my house and I break a PG&E line, I'm getting a bill from PG&E.
Well, part of the problem was for this apartment complex, a private contractor put the gas lines in place, and what they had marked or what the information they had given PG&E was not accurate.
Okay, that's all I got.
Anything for the public? All right, thank you very much.
Appreciate
thank
you. Very
thank
much.
You. Talk to you. That's right. Why don't we get that bit from the
Gates office? The other guy's not coming.
Oh, he's not coming.
Thank
you. Okay.
Hello, I'm Officer Godwin from the Highway Patrol here. We were kind of stalling. There's another officer that's going to be taking over from my spot. I'm transferring up out of the area and won't be out here anymore. And he wanted to be here to talk to you guys. He kind of took over a problem we had here for months, I guess, in school years past, about cars pulling in and out of the school here, making a left turn. Hopefully none of you guys got contacted by him, but he wrote some obscene 20-some tickets in an amount of 15 minutes. He was just writing down, getting information, and writing it on a card and sending them on their way,
yep.
And pulled the information later so he could actually fill out the ticket and send it in the mail. What happened was he found one of the ladies picking up kids there had been suspended driver's license for several years, hadn't registered her car in 3 or 4 years, and he looted him, and he saw her today, and that's where he's at right now. He's taking care of her. So it was... he took it in project, so that's why he couldn't be here. But last month, you guys probably heard, we had an officer get killed here in Central County, and so our office all but shut down as far as the guys that work here typically. We had officers from surrounding highway patrol areas coming in and filling in for us, but as far as general enforcement, there really wasn't much. They were reactive and just handling calls for service only. So I don't really have any ticket stats as far as how many we issued or arrests, because our guys just didn't do anything for the month. I can tell you that he aside from those tickets that he wrote, he also provided the crossing guard with a set of cones. So she's, or he is supposed to set those cones up every day when they go out, making it impossible to make a left turn against that sign and into that parking lot. So we'll see if that's a long-term fix. Hopefully it seems relatively simple. I don't know why it didn't happen before, but it sounds like he's got it pretty well beaten. If he doesn't, he'll be writing 20 tickets a day and 15 minutes. So eventually everybody will get one and maybe they'll stop.
What's his name?
His name is Eric Brewer. I've spoken about him many times. He and I work together out here all the time. He's here. He just doesn't do this meeting. He's responsible for Bay Points and Alamo and Pacheco, I think. So, but now that I'm leaving, he's taking over some of my duties, and so he'll be here.
Is he a motorcycle also? Or
no, he's a car. Yeah, and that's about all I have.
So what duty are you taking?
Where are you going?
I'm going to Shasta County.
No,
yeah, so me too. That's why I'm going back.
Oh, good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you for your service here. It's been a good relationship.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. Yeah. Is there any questions?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank awesome. You thank you.
Have a good night.
Supervisor Pico's office, please.
Good evening.
Hey, good evening.
First, I want to let you guys know that the county's Department of Development and Conservation is going to be holding their kickoff meeting for several grant opportunities for nonprofit organizations and others seeking funding in Contra Costa County for fiscal year 2013-2014. One of them is the Community Development Block Grants, which have brought money out to various nonprofits, and we've also used them for some sidewalks in other communities. So I thought it would be something that you guys would be interested in. The kickoff meeting is Thursday, October 11th from 10 to 12 in Martinez at the new offices for the Department of Conservation and Development. Second of all, I learned about a new, well, it's not new, I don't think, but it's new to me. Hopefully it's new to you guys. The Delta Diablo Sanitation District has a reuse room at their waste collection facility in Pittsburgh, and it has paints that people have dropped off that could be full or maybe just open, or pesticides that East County residents can go Thursday through Saturday from 9 to 4 and get the stuff for free. So I have that flyer for you guys as well. Second off, we have a couple open seats on several of our committees. One is specific to your community. It is the Discovery Bay P6 Zone Committee. We have one open seat. It is set for the Ravenswood development, but if we can't fill it through that specific development, a resident from that area, we can be from the P6 portion of your community, which is Lakeshore, the Lakes, Ravenswood, and Syntex. So we have one open seat on that, and then we also have two open seats on our County Library Commission. If anyone's interested, I can give them more information. And lastly, you guys have a new code enforcement officer, and I look forward to bringing him out to meet your community. His name is Larry Polston, and he is not new to code enforcement, but he will be new to our area, and he started out here this week. I have not met him myself, but I look forward to meeting him and bringing him out to meet your community.
Good.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. No code enforcement reporting. What happened to code enforcement?
Gone. Gone.
No, we don't have a code enforcement.
Code enforcement.
Yeah. I do. I do.
All right. Okay. Next time, I'd like to consent calendar. I'd like to. Do you want to comment or question?
I make a motion to accept the consent calendar.
Also,
any public comment regarding consent calendar? Anyone wants to second that?
Okay.
I'm sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, public hearing. I'll turn this over to staff. Just the line.
you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item has been before you previously in draft form. This is a public hearing to consider the adoption of the amending capacity fee program for charges for the current fiscal year and for subsequent fiscal years if no change has been made to them. Back in January, the board authorized contract with Barnwell's Associates. On August 1st, Tom Gaffney with Barnwell's was here, and he presented the board with the draft findings at that time. Staff went back, worked with both Hoffa Company, Pantages, Barnwell's, and internally to drill down to make sure we had the numbers as accurate as possible. We feel that we have that information today as being correct. The recommended capacity fees for water are $3,900 for each new connection and $9,886 for wastewater for a combined total of $13,760. It's important to note that $9,860. It's important to note that the Hoffman Company, as part of their conditions of approval for Discovery Bay West, was responsible for constructing the wastewater treatment plant that we currently own, Wastewater Treatment Plant 2, and as such, did have some reserve capacity inside that plant for both the water. And they also built the water treatment plant up over on Newport as well. So they did have some committed capacity that's reserved for them. There's a chart on the first page of the agenda report that identifies the EDU count for Hoffman, and it breaks that down. And so if you have any questions about that, we would be happy to answer that. Allison Lahovowitz, did I get that right? With Barnwell's is here this evening. Tom was unable to make it, but she's here and she's going to give the presentation.
Hello, I'm Allison Lahovich with Barnwell Associates. I was the financial consultant on the capacity fee study. And this is all information you've seen before. We just updated the numbers slightly with input from staff. So my feeling is that we could go through this fairly quickly. We use the same methodology as we've seen before with that Tom Gaffney presented. So we'll move it along and most of the time for questions. So what we did in our capacity fee study is we had a buy-in portion and an expansion portion. And our buy-in portion is to account for existing facilities that future customers will get benefit from when they connect to the system. So these are facilities already in place that will serve the community through build-out in 2020. So when Discovery Bay is fully built out, there's no more available units to be built, fully built out. So what we did was determined existing facilities from the district's fixed asset list, and we escalated those costs to current dollars, and then divided that value amongst all the projected connections in 2020. And so all the way on the right there, those are the number of connections we expect in 2020. So it's existing customers and future customers, everybody that will share in existing facilities. Can we advance? Facilities that are in the ground, and then they've been escalated to current dollars. So I took the acquisition costs, escalated, took off depreciation, and then divided that cost by the system build out. So that's the all the way on the right hand column. So that would be our buying portion of the capacity. Okay. But to accommodate growth in your community, some new facilities will have to be built or expanded. Now, it's not fair to charge existing customers for these facilities because these facilities will exclusively serve growth. And so what we did was went through your water and wastewater capital improvement plan, and we worked with staff to identify projects that will fix existing deficiencies in the system and projects that are needed to serve growth. And so these projects, these costs, are projects that will only serve growth. So 100% of these costs are allocated to new connections. So this is what we call the new facilities or expansion portion of the capacity fee. So we took that cost and then divided it only by the number of new customers. So existing customers are not paying any of those costs because these are facilities that will serve, you know, expansion only. Okay. So then what we do is add the buy-in portion of the shared facilities plus the expansion portion of new facilities and both water and wastewater, and we got a cost of about $13,760. And that's just a very slight change from the fee we calculated previously. We worked with staff to adjust the build-out estimates of the community slightly, so that was the difference in cost. Okay. And we wanted to compare our recommended fee with other local agencies. And what we found is our recommended fee is very much in line with other local agencies. Our fee is designed to fully recover the cost of serving new development. And you can see it's pretty similar to the fees currently charged by other local agencies. You can see the blue is the water fee, so our recommended water fee is a little bit on the lower side compared with other agencies, and the wastewater, that's that red portion, is a little bit high compared with other local agencies, but overall the total fee is very, very competitive with other agencies. So I tried to keep it short and sweet and then have plenty of time for questions.
Go ahead, Rick.
Question, maybe this is for staff, probably could answer this better than you, but total build up, does that include the 1,100 acres east of the property or current build of the bridge?
No, it does not. It is just what is within our sphere of influence.
That's an issue.
Well, it's just what's entitled law.
It includes those parcels that were discussed and identified in the master plans.
Okay, gotcha.
They use those same numbers for the purposes of this study. So it included build out of Skippy Bay West Olive, obviously, Contagious.
Okay.
You have a question?
Yeah. I do not.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Rick and Dina and other district staff for furnishing the information and helping the study go smoothly. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. President, as this is a public hearing, you will need to open the public hearing this time.
Anybody like to come up and comment?
Good evening. My name is Darren Lennon. I'm with Hoffman Land Development. I submitted a letter to Rick today. Rick, is that circulated to the board?
It was not circulated to the board. We received a 10-page letter from the Hoffman Company this afternoon at approximately 3:30. Legal counsel did receive a copy of it as soon as I received it. And due to the late nature of its receipt, we have not had much of an opportunity to vet it out and get into the details of the letter at this time.
So we, as you know, we've an opportunity to work with district staff and consultants over a period of time. We've worked with items out. People's schedules and business didn't allow us to meet as much as I think we all might have hoped to meet. And there are some remaining issues that we still have concerns about, and those are outlined in the letter. I won't go through all of those here, but need to say that Discovery Bay West, Hoffman has a number of different properties that it owns in the community, and the real focus of our concerns are on the special relationship that we have with Discovery Bay West Development with the part of Discovery Bay. We have other properties, and those properties stand alike with other development that's going to occur in town. We're not really, you know, a development proposal or a shopping center yet, pretty shortly, and that is in a little bit of our conversations. Our real concern is about Discovery Bay West. As you know, we've probably spent well in excess of $30 million on the kinds of things that we're talking about in this fee here. And we entered into relationship agreements with the town 10 years ago. We got service agreement, reimbursement agreements, and construction agreements. And we set up, we did all this stuff. And we really thought when we were meeting many years ago and both sides of the table that what we were looking at was the facilities and the agreements were going to cover Discovery Bay West all the way through its construction. Now we look back, we're here, we're not at the end quite yet, and we're looking back and saying, okay, you know, we missed a few things. This wasn't on purpose or by accident. Nobody, you know, it happened. And there is some shortage in wastewater treatment and in water supply. And by water supply, we need water wells and water treatment. So we get that we need to participate and pay our fair share for things that didn't get delivered as everybody thought they were supposed to. So we get that. That's really not part of the conversation. Our biggest objection is over the buy-in fee. We really feel like we are being asked to pay twice for the things that we've already built. The easy analogy is with the wastewater collection system. It's different. The collection system is the sewage pipes, the pump stations, the transmission lines that collect the sewage. When we built an entire system, we had pumps, series of pumps, the sewage that comes out of Discovery Bay goes all the way around the community and is delivered right to the sewage treatment plant. We built it. We paid for it. We did all that. We shouldn't be asked to pay a buy-in fee for something that we did and is big enough to serve the Discovery Bay West community. It gets to the treatment plant, there's an issue with the treatment plant. Okay, we've got to participate in that. But not a buy-in for something that's adequate to service, and we built it. There's similar analogies for water. It's a little more complicated relationship, but you'll recall for those who were around at the time that we were going to do a similar thing with the water system for Discovery Bay West. We were going to have our own water system. It was going to be a treated water system. We would have our own water wells. We have our own water treatment. We had to do that because the time we were to the existing community didn't have that, didn't have the obligation, the duty to provide treated water. We looked at this. We entered an agreement that your board at that time said, listen, what we want to do is we want to work together. And we did work together. We delivered a water system to the entire community of Discovery Bay and to Discovery Bay West at a dramatically reduced cost to the community of Discovery Bay. We worked together, we got that done, and it's there today. It isn't everything we maybe thought it was going to be, but through no fault of anybody at that time, you know, it needs, but looking back, we got to do some things. We get it. We ought to participate in the water supply, water wells, water treatment, but not to buy in. Everything we did is fine. We got huge pipes going out to us. We have all the circulation that we need for water. There's all the pressure that we need in Discovery Bay West. Fine. There's something we got to go back and look at for the purpose of water supply. We get it. This agreement or this fee doesn't do those things. It asks for more participation from us than what we think is fair. We understand our obligations. We want to pay our fair share. We don't want to pay more than that. We're totally bought into this thing. We've paid. Hey, you know, in excess of $30 million. So that's our objection. You know, necessary to go through everything, but if we given the opportunity to keep working with you guys, that's what we want to do. I work through these things. You know, I fault myself. I'm not able to adequately explain in our meetings, you know, what the depth of our concern is on this. And if given the opportunity to keep working on it, that's what we'd like to do. Again. Thank you. I'll answer any questions.
Go ahead, Jim.
I think you, it's, without going into this, we're talking about approximately 200.
It's different for sewer, and it's different for water. And again, the limitation and the, where these numbers come from are in the wastewater treatment and in the water treatment. That's the derivation of these numbers, because there's not the, the treatment or the supply available. It's not on the other items. But so water, in retrospect, we look back and we use the terminology of equivalent dwelling units. And that was an unfortunate terminology, and we got to live with it. The equivalent dwelling units is what it sounds like. You know, X amount of water gets used by a house. If you go out and you put in a softball field and you water it, it's going to use as much as, you know, two houses or something. So that's an equivalent dwelling.
Right.
Unit.
Right.
We didn't put that in the agreement.
Right.
It was you know, it's an oversight.
Yep.
Both sides of the table did it. We thought we were talking about the whole development. And we were using fancy words, you know,
right.
But we thought we were saying the development. We used EDU. Again, unfortunate that we did it, but we got to live with it. So now we've used up EDUs to put in irrigation, public irrigation, private irrigation, and that's a big usage. There's some other things. The school used up some. We've got gatehouses that use portions of EDUs. So that the water side of that is the big number. That's the big drop-off in the 2,000 units that we thought we were going to be able to put into the system. The sewage side is less. It's less dramatic because irrigation doesn't use sewage. So we got all this water going on there to land for, you know, to irrigate it, but it doesn't use sewage. So it's not as dramatic. It's just other things that, you know, the school will never need. It's an accounting position.
Any other questions? Director Madison?
No, I'm good.
Mr. President Gray?
No.
Any comments? No? All right. Thank you. Any other public, please speak? All right. Go ahead.
I'd like to add anecdotally that the process was rather lengthy. It was somewhat complicated by what David is discussing right now. I would like to mention, however, that the two big stakeholders in the process that are going to be impacted most dramatically by this, Hoffman Development Company as well as Pentagis, were both at the table with us when we met with the consultants. The early meetings when we were just getting the basics in place, we did that internally. But once we got to the point where we felt it was appropriate to bring them in at David's request, we did bring both Pantages as well as Hoffman in, and they were part of the process every step of the way. Both of them received drafts of the draft documents. They received comments. So with that, the staff would recommend that board move forward with adopting resolution 2012-23. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer. Can I add one more thing? And if after we vet out the letter received from the Hoffman Company, and if there is merit in that, I believe in talking to legal counsel that we can systematically return to the board with an amended resolution and without having to go through the whole process again. Rather simple process if that is indeed the case. So, and I did convey that to David, I believe, yesterday afternoon in the phone call I had with him as well. So I just wanted to give that last piece of information to the board and the public as well.
I'm going to make a motion that we adopt resolution number 2012-23.
second it. Any public comment? Any more public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Oh, all right.
No problem. He was on his way up.
I didn't see your hands.
I just want to say for the record, I appreciate the opportunity.
I want to thank Allison for driving all the way over from Berkeley tonight for this. And tell Tom sorry you missed him. And appreciate all your efforts.
Excellent. Thank you. New business and action items?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you tonight is it's commonly referred to as a budget amendment. In the past, you probably have not seen these in too many versions or iterations. Generally, they are ministerial in nature. They are moving, accounting for expenditures or revenues that came in or didn't come in or something that happened or didn't happen so that we can track it budgetarily. When we adopted the budget this year, we had not completed the process of the financing for the capital projects. Consequently, we did not have the revenues from the financing in there. And we also added two projects subsequent to the adoption of the budget back in June. That was to upgrade lift station F rehab and to also add UV bank number 4 down at wastewater treatment plant number 2. So staff's recommending that an additional $409,000 be added to the operation and maintenance budget to meet debt service obligations on the debt. And if you recall, last fiscal year, the board approved the biosolids project for total project cost of $1.6 million. When we adopted the capital financing plan, we financed $800,000 of those revenues. We paid the first $800,000, and the second $800,000 is going through the capital financing process. So those funds. That part of that $800,000 is now being used to pay the debt for this current year. And the debt for this year is $409,000. It's an interest-only payment. It's due in, I believe, December. So that is why you see the revenue numbers down below, an increase of $1,258,000 accounts for the increase of the revenues from the capital financing, as well as, I believe, about $100,000 from additional property tax revenues that we received as a result of the county, our assessment. So $200,000, they came in $200,000 more than we anticipated. So that was a good thing. So overall, we are recommending that the operations and maintenance budget be increased to the amount of $409,000 in order to meet debt service, that the CIP be increased in the amount of $319,500 to reflect programmatic increases resulting from the capital finance projects, and that's the addition of the UV bank as well as the lift station F upgrade, and that the revenue budget be amended to reflect an increase in revenues over previously anticipated revenues in the amount of $1,258,185. And if you have any questions, and what this action tonight, assuming you adopt this, will put our budget for 2012-13 to bed, for the time being anyway, pending any future budget amendments. And so I believe you have in front of you, or you have received a final version of the budget, assuming it's approved for this evening. If you have any questions, Nina's here to answer any questions, as well as myself.
Any public comment?
I'd like to make a motion to adopt resolution 2012-24.
Any further comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Right.
The next item before you this evening is a home occupation use permit. The applicant is Jesus Lopez. It is for a proposed land use permit application for a home-based business to operate a graphic design business, which would also include printing of t-shirts on site. It's located over on Tahoe Court in Discovery Bay. There's a diagram of the property attached, as well as the application for the board. This is very, very similar to the items that we receive regularly from the county asking for an agency comment request from our board.
I have a question here, Rick. All the ones that we've passed, not objected to, I should say, in the past, of all the home-based businesses requiring no deliveries of goods. They're doing t-shirts, which will eventually be hats and whatever else. That means folks are living in and out of there and picking up a little bit of merchandise.
In the past, when the board has had objections to deliveries of products and material, that sort of thing, we have included that in the letter that that was the objection of the board. So it's at the board's pleasure.
Any comments, questions? Is there any like hazardous materials? I have no idea.
I'm certain that if the county, if there were had, the county goes through a much more comprehensive vetting process for the applicants, and they establish a complete set of conditions. For example, for the automobile-based businesses, they don't allow them to store vehicles on site. That's a requirement. In this case, I don't know what their conditions are because they're in the process of developing those conditions right now. So at some point in time.
Is there Mr. Lopez in the audience? Thank you. All right. Any public comment?
I thought there was something about not being able to run a business out of your home. CNRs.
CNRs? I don't
depends
know.
Depends on what CNRs you're talking about. There's 13 of them out here.
Well, isn't there one in any of them?
I don't
it's
know.
It's just you can't run a business out of your home?
No.
There's a lot of businesses that run out of the home.
Rent their docks out on one side of me. I got people selling surfboards on the other side of me, and there's no place for me to park up and down the block.
Yeah, if you could come to the podium if you have any more comments.
And I'm sure I read somewhere in the CNRs that there's something about people running the business out of their home.
Yeah, that would be a private association that may have some rules on that, but as far as the county goes, there's a process that the business needs to go through, and so we're just reviewing it and giving some advice to the county here tonight.
You can actually do the same thing.
Yeah.
If somebody's running a business next door, you can contact the county and find out if they're a licensed business or not.
Yeah, but I've got RCNRs, I'm sure I've read somewhere.
Yeah, you need to contact your association.
Yeah, you should do that. We don't have anything to do with that. We're not a homeowners association.
Yeah.
Okay. But you can contact your homeowners association. Take that to them and tell them there's people running businesses on both sides of it. And is this legal? And let them address it.
Okay. Thank you, Brent. Any other comments? Okay. All right.
Go ahead. In the process of making printing t-shirts, does that take a machine that makes clothes?
As I mentioned, I believe that the county is seeking input to determine what their conditions would be. I'm not aware of what their process is going to be. I would probably surmise that you are accurate and that there would be some form of that a lot of them are steam printed on. Digital in this case, so I'm not the process, but we can certainly draft a letter expressing the concerns of the board regarding deliveries and the noise being minimized and that sort of thing.
I think noise and deliveries are there concerns. Any other concerns? Okay, so
I need a motion.
Okay, so I'd like to make a motion that we put conditions on this, that noise and limitation on deliveries and traffic would be our concerns.
And hazardous materials.
I'll
I'll second that.
Any final public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Director Madison, do you have any updates or comments?
I do not.
Vice President Graves? No, I'm not.
Okay, then yes, I have a couple of reports to give. But you got to do something about that, Rick. Let me just go ahead and do this so I don't have to keep pulling the button down. Okay, a couple of reports. Director Madison, President Steele, and myself, along with staff, attended a CSDA conference in San Diego earlier in the week, last week, and I had some great opportunities to not only partake in some of what is going on with CSDs around, well, how many are there, 3,000 in the state of California?
4,600
in the state of California. And find out what challenges they have and like ours and not like ours and what we have and may or may not have to look forward to, what's going on with regards to Sacramento and laws that affect CSD and how it's operated and how it's maintained and what rules and regulations may be coming down the pike. Also, we had a great opportunity to go to several different workshops that were available, one for board of directors, understanding our role, and how that and how to better interact with staff, as well as some with regards to looking at alternative fundings for different things that might occur in the future in Discovery Bay, and using the experience of other CSDs that have done the same thing that we may be intending to do in the future. It was a very beneficial, educational, and worthwhile for myself and I think for the other directors as well. So that would be a report that I will get to staff. And then I have another report for, and although Fire Chief Burst tends to steal a little bit of my thunder every time he goes first, I did attend the East Contra Costa Fire District meeting on Monday night. There are two new directors. The board had been talking about moving in the direction of having an elected board, which was actually their guidance that had been given from LAFCO when they were established. They've moved away from that again for some reason, and they're back to appointing individuals that are on the board of directors of both the other two cities that we share the jurisdiction with. And so Oakley assigned two new members. Jim Frazier went out, and Pat Alexander went out, and there are two new directors. I don't have their names. There was no introduction to them. It was rather not very well done, in my opinion. The other thing that would be interesting is that they have a goal and an objective to open at least the Knightson station by November, which doesn't leave much time. They think they have eight. I think Chief Burke might have shared this. They have eight. They have retained eight of the firefighters that were laid off, and they need nine to open the station. They're confident in the next 30 days that they will be able to go through the displaced firefighters list, which is a list of firefighters throughout the state of California that have been displaced for basically the same kind of reason, that already are experienced and trained and could easily step into the role. They're aggressively going through that, trying to replace the other 15 that they need to replace in order to make the grant effective. Other than that, discussion of, it was kind of interesting, of having the fire district take responsibility for providing water for Bethel Island because their fire hydrants are dry. And I think, I when I heard that, I thought, well, everybody in Discovery Bay would love it if the fire district paid our water bill out here and they supplied the water to our fire hydrants, but unfortunately that just isn't the way it works. And that fell upon some deaf ears, so that wasn't very effective. Other than that, I have nothing more to report with regards to the fire district.
Thank you very much.
Mark.
Yeah, the San Diego CSDA conference was well attended, and there was a lot of lessons to be learned with these other CSDs. It appears that a lot of them have a lot more challenges and difficulties, and it looks like we are well funded and have a good accounting and balance system in place as far as our revenue and how we spend our operations here. So I was impressed by that in my conversations. And I was impressed by how many CSDs there are in the state, and that's a big number, over 4,000. And it looked like about 50% of the attendees of the general session were elected, and 50% were management. So anyway, thanks, Rick, for getting us set up on that. I don't have anything else to report tonight. Manager's report, please.
This item is, staff's bringing this item to you this evening. It's a discussion and possible action on the 2013 Earth Day project. Staff's proposing a combination Veterans Memorial and Demonstration Gardens project for Earth Day. We want to get board input on this. We want to, it's a big project. There's a lot of moving parts to it. We want to receive your input on it. Aaron Perez is going to go ahead and give you an update on what ideas and concepts are out there, and what we could be doing, and what more feedback on whether or not you feel it's going to work or not.
The idea behind the project actually was not just started since the last Earth Day. We've discussed in previous landscape committees doing projects like a demonstration garden or a community garden, a veterans memorial. Had these discussions with various community groups and in meetings that we have or attend. I attend garden club meetings when requested, Lions Club, Delta Lions, and these things have come up in conversation within the community. They have not been projects that have been of a high priority or even one that would fall into a capital improvement that I would feel confident moving forward within our budget numbers. But looking at the Earth Day event and how many people came and supported that and wanted to support that, and companies who have discussed being willing to provide services and donating time and materials, financial donations, it seemed that these projects that had the interest might find a path to see the light without having to use the budgets within those zones through the Earth Day projects. I can tell you, I got an email today. The community group who is most directly responsible for the most involvement at this point has been the Discovery Bay Garden Club. They originally contacted me because they were looking at doing a veterans memorial on their own, and they have received preliminary approval to do a Blue Star Memorial marker. Those not only go along highways, but they can be put in public parks and different types of facilities. And so we're kind of discussing ideas about where we could do this in partnership with them. They have limited resources. They don't want to stick it on Highway 4 where nobody's going to be able to see it or visit it. There's no safe place along there to stop and to see this marker. And so the idea right now, there's not, we haven't moved forward with detail. We haven't started design. There's no, this is an idea. This is a concept that these groups have discussed and that people seem to be supportive of within the community. And we're looking to get a group together, a committee, where we can discuss a lot of these details. People within the community groups who would be able to assist us in finding those resources to make this program happen in the time frame that we have. My staff does not, our department does not have the time resources to reach out to all of the necessary networks we would need to make this program come to fruition. So I really need assistance with this. And our goal, or my goal, is to have a committee. In the recommendations on the summary, I'm looking for about seven people, two board members, one from each of the community groups who have expressed interest in these types of projects, and then an at-large member from the community who can help us kind of reach out and start forming some of the details of this project. After some of that got done, we would come back again. This is, you know, this is more of an idea of what this is going to look like. This is where it's going to be. Right now, very preliminarily, we're looking at Cypher Park again, next to a school who's also expressed interest in using a demonstration garden for educational purposes, a park that has a very little amenity features, something great parking space, centrally, you know, located, and so that's kind of why we picked that location again this year.
So you're talking about the Byron Delta Alliance stuff? Is that what that is?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was missing that. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're looking for an activity for that specific date in the project? Is that the idea that we're going to just all come together and bring the community in?
Well, there are many projects we can do for Earth Day. This isn't the only thing that we can do now. Moving in order to do the other projects, so if we wanted to have a veterans memorial, or if we wanted to do a community garden, which we have discussed, but there's so many other things that we could do with our budget money besides those. The Earth Day project seemed like a great idea to get the community involved and to really buy into these very specialized projects that really kind of fall outside the scope of what we normally do.
Seems to me that 2013 is an awful aggressive date to try to. We're already three months are already passed. When's Earth Day?
It's in April.
Yeah, so we're only have 6 or 7 months left before the next Earth Day.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like an awful aggressive schedule, and also it doesn't allow for other possibilities of locations. I mean, we just put a splash pad in Discovery Bay West.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're. I'm a little concerned.
Park.
I'm sorry?
I
understand that, but it's not, there's less people living over there than are living over here.
Mm-hmm.
And it concerns me that we keep putting things over there without considering putting something, without improvements right here in what is considered the center of town. And also, a little bit confused about the direction that the Garden Club is going with the Blue Star Moms, because that has nothing to do with veterans, and it has to do with active duty military, not veterans. So there's a conflict there.
Okay. Well, from what I understand about the program, it is it's designed to the program started in I believe 1945 by the National Garden Clubs, and we may be on two different pages about what the Blue Star Memorial. There might be a different
Very
one
possible.
That you're talking about.
Very
but
possible.
It was originally for World War II veterans,
mm-hmm.
and then they expanded that to include all that served. And so now the memorial markers are very simple. It's a blue star. It identifies a memorial area, and it's a tribute to the Armed Forces of America. And it usually talks about what groups help sponsor and make that come possible. And it was through the National Garden Clubs, and so our local garden club would be the sponsor of a plaque. And so we're not limiting none of the details are ironed out. And if we get together and we decide that this can't happen for 2012-13, or we get together and there's a ton of support, and I know that they've already been making connections and have interest in this, it is plausible with a group. I cannot do that on my own. This is not a project that absolutely that time frame would not be feasible at all for our staff alone.
Do you have an area at Slash?
There's a couple areas more along which would be north of the parking lot towards the school on the west side of the soccer fields that you could use. You could also use an area that would be on the south side of the playground and east of the parking lot. So there's a couple areas within there. We're not looking at doing a huge memorial where we're tearing out tons of area. We're looking at doing raised planter beds where we can do demonstration gardens around a very centralized, you know, maybe a flagpole and a plaque, and an area where maybe people can, as a future, something there that like pathway markers that people can engrave for their loved ones, or and that would be like an annual thing that we would just, you know, take out some and install others, where you know, there would be a temporary type of surfacing until those groups went in. And that could go on as long, you know, it wouldn't have to be limited to a certain number, and it wouldn't have to be limited to a certain period of time. This is something the community can keep going as, you know, as people want to, you know, move in and out of the community or want to recognize their loved ones.
Sounds like it's, to me, for the 15 minutes we have or 7 minutes we have or whatever it is, it's a little complicated. I think what you are looking for right now is possibly to start a committee.
That's it, yeah.
And then the committee can start working on all the avenues that you wish.
Yeah. Well, no. I don't want to say that I wish. I mean, us as a community, yeah.
Right. But, start looking at the different ventures that may be out there and might be plausible for everybody. So I think what you're looking for right now is to find out if there's two members that want to be on the committee plus start looking at three others. I think that's about where we're at right now, correct?
Yeah, and I'm not sure how I'm going to have to look for direction on this, on creating a committee. Is it something that we're sponsoring? Is it something through a department? I don't.
I would suggest that before you decide if you want to form a committee in some version or another, that the board make a determination as to whether or not this is a project that you would endorse, you want to move forward, and then we can go from there. So I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but I think we need to make sure that we get that direction first. I wouldn't want to get a committee established and then have the board say, you know what, this isn't the right time.
The only comment I would make here, we need more time for this. This has hit us, and I don't know whether we endorse it, but I don't know what it's going to entail. I don't think any of us do, and I think we need to get this where we can discuss it.
Well, that's kind of where I'm at, too. It's like it's,
yeah, I mean,
it's a lot of
information. Something in numbers. What's it going to take money-wise? What's it going to take people-wise? What's it going to take place-wise? I don't want to just put my name on this and go, okay, we can't do it.
Just a comment. I did participate in the Earth Day this year, and it was a great turnout. I'd say, several hundred people showed up, and Karen had lined out different projects and she had gathered these different groups, and I think that we should do something for 2013 Earth Day on the same, something similar, but this is a bigger scope, it looks like, or there's a lot of details.
It would be
like
different, it would be a different type of project. The Earth Day event would still be open to the public. There would still be necessary to have volunteers to do plantings, and a lot of the work would have to be done beforehand. A lot of that would be donation work or things that we, like I said, I'm not looking to build a huge giant structure. We're talking about a memorial, some earthwork around the area, some pathways, and some raised garden beds. Everything the day of, we'd be looking at it, still getting the community involved, still doing groups of people who can come in and bring soil in for us, do plantings for us that day. So it's still going to be a hands-on experience of work that happens the day of Earth Day. It would still be that project. Now, I'm not at this point saying that this is 100% that I can't tell you that we can do this. I've been asked by several groups and I've had several interests, and they're looking for a source where we can get the whole community involved and play that together at a table, and if we can make it work, they'd like to, and we're looking for that.
Well, then just short of forming a committee, can we get a couple of members, if a couple members even want to sit down with Farron and at least take a look at the
Earth Day?
Take a look at Earth Day and you know, test the waters a little bit and see if it's going to go anywhere.
I'm not even sure if it has to be a formal committee. I don't know the ins and outs of that. We haven't had any specialized committees in our department. So if it's just a matter of sitting down and discussing it with maybe other community groups and seeing how feasible it is, that is the direction, and I've just been the source trying to pull it together.
All right. Vice President Graves?
Let me first of all say that I am 100% behind recognizing our military and providing a veterans memorial. I've talked about it with members of this board over the last 3 years since I came on the board. And so that would be the first thing. I just think that it should be done right. It should be done with the right amount of honor and respect that we owe to our military. And therefore, to try to put something together by 2013, 6 months from now, just doesn't seem reasonable. However, there's no cost involved with starting a dialogue or starting a committee. and there's no necessarily buy-off by the board until the committee brings a recommendation back to the board. So although I do understand what Director Simon's saying and empathize with the with that, I would be willing to be on a committee that would at least look at what I would consider some of the concerns. I think what one of the things that Town of Discovery Bay is lacking is a Veterans Memorial Park, the flagpole, everything that goes along with it. We don't have that in this town, and it's been talked about for quite a while. You know, there was always, well, anyway, I don't want to get into committee work, but that would, so I would, I don't have a problem with developing a committee to talk about it. I'm not sure that 2013
is. Yeah, and I'm not either. I'm not jumping and saying we can do this, and it's kind of, I don't know, but I am willing to work on that with the groups who are interested to see if that's something we can do, and if it's a phase project that we do over 2 years, or you know, whatever, however that goes, just open discussion.
And I would say that considering the success of last year's, and unfortunately I had a conflict with military function last year, I couldn't make it. Birthday last year, I imagine this is something that's going to go on, and we have the same opportunity to get the community involvement if it occurred in 2014, let's say, or something like that.
Yes.
I would
go ahead.
I just say, as a veteran, I would support the memorial, but I should be done right, and I don't see us getting it done by April.
So a lot, along with the Veterans Memorial, the other thing that I think you mentioned is, like, the garden club wants to have a public garden as well?
A demonstration garden, and that's something. The garden club is actually more interested in the Veterans Memorial than they are in the demonstration gardens. They're supportive of the gardens as well, but they're more interested in pursuing the memorial.
And I'll just say on the, you know, kind of on the record, in my line of business, I go to a lot of towns and cities, mm-hmm. and a lot of these communities have you know, the public gardens, mm-hmm. you know, where they have the fruits and vegetables and all that kind of stuff. So I'm totally for that. If we can, you know, find a spot where we can have an area, it's well received by a lot of the communities.
I'm not clear what a demonstration garden is. That where you go protest? I thought those days were over.
No, a demonstration garden is, originally when the discussions were going, we're like, let's do a community garden. Community garden allows people to come in and do fruits and vegetables and sometimes work their own areas or, you know, rent plots or, you know, however that works if you have the school doing a certain area. A demonstration garden has separated bed areas. They're not the same. This is the idea. That there would be separate beds. And each one would have a theme. So you could say, in the summary here, we use the example of a sensory garden. So this bed would be designed by, you know, if the garden club, and this is the discussion, if you guys had groups and you guys could do, you know, they're talking about maintaining this so that this is not something that we're long-term maintaining. They're putting in their time and efforts to do the tedious maintenance of them. But they would pick a theme, and let's say it's sensory. So they would put plants in there that not only grow in the area, but that maybe have different textures or different feels to them, different scents, very visually stunning plants. So everything that you would consider as, you know, your sensory items. Then you could do textiles, like plants that historically have been used to in the production of clothing or different textiles, and you could grow a demonstration area of this. Each area is designed to be educational, something for you to walk through. There would be little plaques that would describe what you're looking at, and those could be changed. You know, something that would just be slide right in, talk about that area. If they change the bed to something new or they change it annually to keep this educational program going, there's a ton of different things that you can do for education. You can do water-wise plants, you can do cacti, you can do, you know, they wouldn't all be the same. It would be an educational experience.
Since this would be a little bit more near and dear to perhaps Director Ray and Kevin, would it be something that you two would like to take on?
I already volunteered my services. I don't have anything else going on in my life.
I'm available for some Earth Day planning.
You know,
I think that's
I would love to sit down with a group of people that are interested in throw some ideas around so we can at least see what direction we're moving.
Okay.
And I don't know that we need two board members if the board doesn't, I mean, we're not going to make any decisions unless there's somebody else that wants to join me in that, do we? It's not, is it going to be a Brown Act situation?
No.
So then is there any limitation as to, I don't see anybody putting up their hands. Why I'm saying I don't want it to go away just because two directors don't volunteer. But I
just volunteered.
Oh, I thought you said for Earth Day stuff.
That's what this we're talking about here.
No, we're talking about a veterans park.
No, we're talking about community garden here and a demonstration plot.
Okay, well then let me make sure I'm clear on this. I really don't care about a demonstration garden, because that to me is so trivial compared to what we owe our veterans that I'm concerned about a veterans park. And so if the focus is going to be on letting people come in and plant gardens and then there's just going to be a flagpole with a marker, I don't need to get involved in that.
I think we're looking at gardens as like a surround, something to identify that area, to enclose it, to make it special so that you can go and, you know, go through this walkway and you're experiencing multiple things along the way. And then at the end, this is a memorial where, you know, this area comes and brings you and
I think we need to have a committee to take a look at that and see how that would look, because it's hard to visualize at that point.
Make a motion that you and.
All right. So you want to make a motion, or I'll make a motion?
I make a motion that Vice President Graves and President Steele form a committee for this particular adventure.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm going to make a recommendation that you don't actually make a motion. I mean, you get two people to volunteer.
I agree.
Let them informally get together with Farron and go explore some ideas and bring it back.
I like that idea. Okay. We'll go
on a handshake, Farron. We'll come work with you guys on this to see what we can do.
Exploratory.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation.
Thanks for your time.
I want to thank the board for that. That was something that we have been discussing for some time, and we wanted to make sure that we had proper board input. So thank you for indulging us on that.
All right. Thank you, Farron. General Manager's report, please.
Thank you. I'm going to dispense with two real quick ones first before I get to the items listed on the agenda. The first one is that our handicap access ramp out front is going to begin the day after the next board meeting. There's 3 weeks between meetings, and the contractor needs 3 weeks to remove it. So that's a good time to start. So it's going to start, like I said, on October the 18th. From a staffing standpoint, I would like to recognize that Nina celebrated her first year with us today. So time flies.
Can I interrupt staff? Just saying. So what was the final product that's going to go on out here? Is it going to be a particle, or is it going to be wood?
It's going to be wood with a thin layer of concrete.
Very good.
Like a cool deck type.
Right, I'm with you. Lightweight gypsy. Yeah.
This item, the electronic message boards, came to the board during two different discussions last year. One was with the communications committee that recommended to the board that the board approve the installation of a permanent message board sign at the corner of Bixler and Highway 4 in the it would be the northwest corner there, adjacent to the Regatta neighborhood, the Centex neighborhood. When we brought that item back before the budget review committee, and which eventually made its way to the full board, one of the conversations we had as well was the addition of a portable message board similar to the one you see in front of you on the board. We have looked at different message boards, and one backup. So the board said to staff, go out, get the information, and come back to us with what the costs are and what you think we should be purchasing. As a result of that discussion with the board during the budget discussions, You authorized a total of $70,000 for the purchase of message boards. However, we were not authorized to purchase those. We were authorized to bring back a recommendation back to the board. So what I'm doing tonight is bringing a discussion item back to the board before I bring a recommendation. So I'm not asking for a recommendation to purchase. I'm asking for input on where would you like to go with this. So consequently, we have three, I'm going to show you three different signs here. The first one is it's from Precision Solar Controls. It's a solar board, solar powered board. Remotely accessed and changed. That board is approximately $13,000 plus tax. To add the modem and the wireless portion of it, it's about another $1,500. So you're talking approximately $16,000 per board. The next board is it's an ADCO model, DH500FM. I know that means a lot to all of you. However, it is a board that is very similar to the other one. It is a little bit more money, but it's a little bit more stout in its configuration. It is $15,950 plus tax, and the wireless option to control it remotely is an additional $1,475 plus tax. There's also, both those boards also have a radar option if we wanted to go down that road. I believe the Sheriff's Department deploys a radar board in town. If we wanted to go ahead and do one as well, we could do that for an approximate $1,500 add-on cost. These boards are approximately the width of the trailer. I'm going to show you another board here. This board is the size, it's a much larger one. We would not recommend this board. This is the ones that you see on the side of highways. It's very wide, and if we were to deploy it in neighborhoods, you wouldn't be able to get by on the sidewalk, nor would you be able to drive by it. So we would not recommend that type of a board. The next item is the permanent board that we had proposed at the corner of Bixler and Highway 4. That board is approximately 32,871. It's a CMAS product, which means it's available on the California Multiple Award Schedule for Purchase. It's been previously competitively bid. I work with our electrical company contractor that we work with, and there are some challenges at that location. There's a pedestal box there that would need to be relocated. I believe, Farron, is it a traffic signal box or an irrigation box?
Caltrans box.
It's Caltrans box, which would need to be relocated. That's not difficult in and of itself, except for the fact it's a Caltrans box. The actual process of moving it isn't that difficult, but the approvals to get it moved would be a little bit more time consuming. And actually, to get it off the corner wouldn't be a bad thing.
Never mind the high voltage pole there. That's OPG's going right next door. Right there on the thing.
So we had... We estimated this board installation in the neighborhood of $40,000. That's what we budgeted for it. It's a $30,000 purchase. We estimated about $10,000 to have it installed and have everything put in its place. And then if we had the two message boards, if we purchased two boards, about another $32,000. So we're looking at right around the budget number between 70 and probably seven, budget number 70. Okay, if we went with the cheaper, the more inexpensive message board, or the one that's a little bit more stout. So we're bringing these to you tonight, pursuant to the request of the board back when we did the budget adoption back in June. And so we're seeking board input on these items.
Go ahead.
The first question, obviously, you know how I feel about the one on the corner picture. I'm against it anyway, but what in the world do we need two message boards for $30,000, $40,000?
It would be approximately $30,000 for the lease for this one that I'm showing you right here. I'm going to answer you by 30 grand. Yeah. If we're doing work in a road, we would like to be in a street. We're tearing up a road for one reason or another. If we're digging into a street, we'd like to be able to have the ability to post the board at both ends so that we can inform motors coming from both ends of the street that there is work ahead. It's a safer situation. If we do one, it just means we're going to have people directing more traffic. It's a judgment call of the board. We can certainly purchase one now. We can purchase one later. It's entirely up to you.
So when we're fixing the pipes,
I got to tell you, I've been here since '83. They've purchased one main road going through. You get Clipper, which isn't a big heavy traffic. It's 25 miles an hour. You have Discovery Bay Boulevard. You can see all the way up Discovery Bay Boulevard when you get to River Lake all the way up. To spend 30 grand to roll out two signs, to me, is the most colossal waste of the ratepayers' money I've ever seen in my life. I don't believe we need either of them.
We had a SSO back on Willow Lake Road, I believe. It was a small one. It was reported to the board a number of months ago, maybe over a year ago. And I was out there helping direct traffic, as was Virgil, and Veolia traffic. And I almost got run over a number of times because it was dark. It was around the corner, and you couldn't see it. And it was a situation at that point in time where I said to myself, I think it would be money well spent if we had a message board at that location to at least let the traffic know. They were out there for about four or five hours that day.
And none of our trucks have, I mean, I see the parent truck with the yellow lights on top of it, they don't have all the flashing lights all over them.
Yeah, but they do, but if they're coming around a bend, you're not necessarily going to see them.
So we don't have lighted that, those A-frames, we don't have lighted ones on our rear
window? No.
You could park that. I mean, I don't mean to be negative, but this to me is just, I just set the hair up on the back of my neck. You could take a pickup truck. If you got a bend in the road, park the pickup truck in the bend and put the other flashlights and just pay for the pickup truck. To just put that out in the street once in a blue moon for $15,000, again, is the biggest waste of our money I've ever seen.
Well, the thought that this was discussed back when the board was deliberating the budget back in June was that we could also use it to advertise an event. Birthday, different types of events, board meetings, and
that's insane.
That is insane. So staff is just bringing back to the board what the board had requested, and we are seeking input.
I think stout's better than something that's going to fall apart in 10 years. I think that my concern on the corner would be just somebody vandalizing it, and that's a big investment. Exactly. On that corner, shooting it out or whatever they do, throw it from a beer bottle through it or something. But I think the stout version or something that's got a long life. I think there's one between here at Costco and Tracy that's been out for like 4 years. Like those stop signs, and I don't know what brand that is, but that's stout. But I don't know if it's a time piece right now.
Virgil actually did the research on these, and Dan, I was remiss, but he may want to add some comments if he has any on some of the research that he did.
Nope.
Okay.
Comments.
What kind of guidance are you looking for here tonight, Rick?
Is this something that staff should continue to pursue? All of the above, part of the above, none of the above?
Getting back to the big message board, where did the communications committee, what was the next alternative besides the corner of by the Safeway?
That was really the alternative. They looked at all the different locations. We brought to them a number of different locations, and that was the one that was zeroed in upon that would have the greatest impact to everybody in Discovery Bay. Whether you live in Discovery Bay West and you're coming down Bixler, or you're living in this portion of Discovery Bay and you're heading west, everybody at some point or another in town, regardless of where you live, crosses the Bixler and Highway 4 intersection.
And I'd love to hear, and I'm being serious for one, not facetious, because that's the problem. There's really not place to entry here for it. We couldn't identify any other place for it. And do you have a better suggestion? Or something else to consider? You know, I'd love to consider something else.
No, I haven't really thought of it that much. I just heard about the Caltrans box you know, not that that's a big deal, but it's like, oh, I wonder if there's some other, you know, place. And you're right, it has to be somewhere where the whole town can see it when they come in. It can't be, you know, part and parcel to one half of the town, not the other.
The options that were considered, the other locations were where I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, there used to be a service organization sign.
By the steakhouse.
There's a triangle piece there. That was considered, but it was felt that that would exclude a major portion of the community because a lot of people don't necessarily, if they live in Discovery Bay West, they might not come this way. They might just live there and not make their way over here.
Again, that location was chosen because almost everybody in town goes to Safeway or the gas station or drives through there on the way home. Now, granted, if you're coming home from Stockton every day and you never go shopping, you may never see the sign. But that would be a lesser percentage of the people than would come by it, have an opportunity to see it at the stop sign, especially if they keep the loop shut down like they are now. And that's why that location was considered as probably the most opportune or the best place to put it.
I mean, I still like the idea of having one of those big signs.
Two things that I would consider. We have really kind of mixed two things up here. I think we should probably stay with one or the other so we don't get confused about what we're talking about. Are we going to talk about the temporary signs or the permanent sign? Neither or both. And have the discussion about one or the other, but not both at the same time. I personally feel that we should invest in to start with the first permanent thing. I actually think we should have for safety issues that we should have a portable sign that can be used to benefit our workers and I think it should be done with the remote option. Maybe not. I don't have to think about that a little bit because if we're using it primarily for a function, you're right there anyway. You can just program it while you're there. I don't know. I think two would probably be excessive. I agree. But at least at this point, see how effective it is.
Yeah, I agree too. I'd like to have one for the safety factor and the communication factor. Two right now just seems like that's a lot of money. That corner has got a lot more cost than I quite realized there with the Caltrans issues. And I would say today I'd be more inclined to have one for the safety factor and one of these portable units versus going for hog wild with it all right now. Just it's a lot of money.
Question for council. We can make a motion out of this presentation. It's good. It's an agendized item, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, I would like to make a motion that we purchase one of the DH500 FMs and as stands with no options at this point. Does that fit? I don't know what it takes to program it, so I probably shouldn't say this. Let me withdraw my motion for the time being.
Can you add features? You can add them later, correct? That would be perfectly fine.
Okay. Motion stands, and I would make a motion that we purchase the DH500 FM for safety reasons for our workers and to give residents an opportunity to be aware of action that's going on throughout the many streets that we have on Discovery Bay. Our primary purpose here as a town is to provide water and wastewater, and everything we have is submerged underneath pavement, and if it takes work, it is done through digging up the ground. It's nothing above ground. So I think for safety, if nothing else, and it can then also be used for other events to, warn people about, just like the sheriff does, warn for fireworks or whatever, and it can have served multiple purposes to the community at that point. That was a heck of a motion.
How much is it?
$15,950.
Should we do 13 or 15?
15.
It's 15,950 plus tax.
Well, I thought that was including all the remote stuff.
No, the radar displays an additional $1,550, and the modem remote controls an additional $1,475. The unit itself, the base unit, is $1,550 plus tax.
Is this on that government purchase program?
You know, I'm certain that they're part of the CMAS program. They're a major, major player in the industry. We will definitely come back to you if something goes astray with the pricing.
Virgil, can you add anything to this?
The pricing is not part of that program. We did not ask that, so more than likely there may be a discount. I can't promise you that. The thought process in this is one for the safety of us who primarily work at night. Today we could have used one. We had a major water leak on Discovery Bay Boulevard where it turns and you have the two islands if you're familiar with the northern part. So folks are coming around Discovery Bay Boulevard and then all of a sudden they're seeing our cones and they have to divert around. We wanted them to divert around because we're right in the middle of the street. We did have a woman come close to us today that nearly took one of us out, maybe the second one. But sign or not, I'm not sure would that have helped or not. We would have placed this down a little further down. Parking is a little hell there. I'm sorry, difficult there. You can't park next to the islands, and you have to park on one side. So most of the residents are pretty much parked right there. The other thought behind this process of the sign, besides helping us out with the water and the wastewater, was the events. And then probably the most that I thought about in my years here is constantly the speeding that we have on our roads. CHP does have a trailer, but they only have one, and they have to use it for all of their boundary areas as well as the county. Whereas ours, we can put that out there when it's not being, we can functionally use it, but it's doing, it's just either flashing or letting you know what your speed is. Sometimes, for a lot of us, we have a lot of things on our brain cells. We could be thinking about some event that just took place a few minutes ago where somebody ticked you off or working work-related or some sibling issue, so forth and so forth. So I was trying to really do is put something in use that the community could get some benefit from. So that was the thinking behind that.
I don't want to see it put in the garage.
No, I totally agree with you. I'd like to have those two other options myself.
Well, the event thing is you can program it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be remotely. And another thing that came up, but it's rarely would probably be used for that, is when we have high tide and the fishing and boating group says you can't go out in the boating. This is where it's just going to cause, I think only twice in my 20 years that I've been here that's ever happened where they shut down the Delta. So you could be putting that sign out there letting the people know they plan to go fishing or skiing, they can't do that. And that's rare, but that's not the... No, but
I like the idea of the radar.
But you can program it, not remotely, but on site, so that nobody comes into it through a cell phone and changes the lettering to something else that you want, even though it's password protected.
Right.
We risk that of being hacked and so forth. But I do like the fact that if we do put it out on Clipper or Newport or Discovery Bay, Willow Lake, for the speeding, something comes up on the water side where I got a leak, I can pull it now and make it a safety thing.
Right.
I'd like to withdraw my long, convoluted motion and make it very simple. I move that we go ahead with the purchase of the DH500FM with the radar speed display option.
Does this have solar power? Is it noisy?
All of these all have solar power.
How much is a radar option?
$1,500.
But I want to, if we buy some of this, we've got to use it. I mean, it's got to be out in the field all the time.
Yeah, that was
I don't
want
to hear it stuck in the storage yard somewhere, you know?
We would just have a staff member bring it out early in the morning for the speeding, move it around, and go from there.
All right. I second the motion.
Any public comment, please?
I don't know what's the matter with just the regular signs with flags like you had out today.
I just don't have a lot of staff. I had to be out there today. That's a waste of my time, really. But it bogs me down. Now I've had a huge amount of emails.
Got it, Virgil. We've got a public comment.
I don't think this passed the headline test. I can agree that there's safety issues that need to be concerned with when we have a water break or something on our street. I think that there's other safety ways to handle that through flagging that PG&E does or Caltrans does. We can buy some flags or something, put them out further away for corners or whatever at night. as far as that large billboard goes, I don't know what and how that's going to impact the community and how that relates to water, wastewater, landscaping, and parks. It's a nice item to maybe have and figure out. But at this particular time with the economy the way it is right now, everybody just received probably a $200 a year increase in their Discovery Bay property tax. I don't think it should fly at this moment, and I think you ought to think about that and put it down the road a little bit after the economy turns around.
Any other questions or further discussion, board? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. All right. Mr. Howard, please.
Move straight to page 151.
Mr. President, members of the board, thank you. The item before you tonight is a discussion item. The board can't take action on it. The Communications Subcommittee, consisting of Vice President Graves and Board Member Madison, recently met with staff to review a number of options toward the establishment of a singular town of Discovery Bay seal and logo that specifically identifies the town as the town. Existing logo, which is at the bottom of the shot there, is utilized by a number of local businesses and organizations throughout town. If the board did choose to adopt a new seal and logo, they would be copywritten to preclude their use. What you have next is the recommended seal from the board. It is a seal that includes the steamboat. It represents the town of Discovery Bay as being in California. It identifies the year that we were established in 1998. It takes the steamboat logo from the simpler steamboat logo.
151.
I'm sorry, that's on page 151, yes. It takes the steamboat logo and it plays off on the boat, as well as includes Mount Diablo in the background, as well as a sunset. You have it there in grayscale as well. And this was the recommended option of the board, of the committee, the subcommittee. And then the next shot is the only difference between the one I just showed you and the next one is that the established date is in white versus its drawn established date.
Go back to the other one. What was the other one before?
The established?
A or B? One I
like
or two?
You always want to have a better because it makes the boat stand out more.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
The blue?
Yeah.
And we would put, and the one thing that did come out of it that didn't get changed is the established would have a dot after the T. EST dot 1998. The seal would be located, it would be used on all letterhead business cards, and we would transition from the current logo that we've been using on the vehicles. Anywhere it's appropriate to use it, the thought would be to have a identifiable seal for the district that can't be used and identifies us from all the other businesses and organizations in town who use it.
Is the circle of significance?
I'm sorry?
The circle shape, is that some sort of significance?
No, just that most seals are circular in nature.
Okay.
I do have a logo that's not circular in nature. And that is
it's
a half circle.
Is that different?
Well, it's a little different in that it just says Discovery Bay and it has California on the bottom with a looks like a swoosh almost, which would represent a little bit more of the delta. And the logo would be different from the seal, and that the logo would be used for more informal things. It would be used, Virgil wears a Town of Discovery Bay polo shirt every day for merchandising items. It just seemed to pop a little bit more than the seal would on a shirt, and staff liked it. The graphic artist and designer, we spent a lot of time on it. The committee spent a lot of time on it as well, and this was their recommended option. So we're looking for more input, and we would like to move forward with that if it's the board's pleasure. It's a relatively minimal cost item. It's a electronic digital, so that's how it gets dropped on the letterhead. It's dropped on the business cards. That way, the business cards get recycled out, as well as the vinyl applications on the district's vehicles.
Can you roll back to the round one again, please? So it's the same sign, same mountain, same ship on that on both of those.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I would like to make a motion that the board adopt the seal for official use and have it trademarked or registered, and the item that is shown on the screen currently, which is also the same item, it is on page 151 of our digital packet. I would also, as part of that motion, like to adopt a logo to be used on other items if that was also shown on the screen, such as shirts, hats, and less official documents. Did that make any sense?
Yes. Okay.
I'll second.
Any public comment?
The problem with that is you don't have a ring. There you go.
I think both logos are fine. I think your procedure's a little backwards. You need to have public comment prior to making the motion so that you can hear the public and then have the discussions, do whatever, whether you pay attention to the public or not. But I think the legal counsel might clarify that.
I can answer that. I can tell you that in several meetings I've been to, they do it either way because the public does comment. We don't vote till the public comments. So it doesn't really make a difference. Whether you comment and then we call for the vote, we make a motion. We don't take the vote until the public comments.
Well, what I'm saying is you shouldn't make a motion until after you've heard the public comment.
What's the difference?
Well, you might get some input from the public that you hadn't heard before.
Which we would take, and then we would vote no on the motion.
Oh.
You're going to have a motion. One, Bill, you got a motion. One or the other. I don't know where. I know the town you came from. I've been to many kind of meetings. You're going to have a motion.
Well, you always have a motion. But you have it after the
it's
public
all right,
comment.
It's all right.
A procedural process.
All right. Any public comment regarding this item? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's all I have this evening.
All right, thank you. Legal counsel, please.
Sure. Earlier this evening at 6:30, there was a special meeting for a closed session regarding a conference with legal counsel on existing litigation listed as item D1. All five board members were present for the entire item, and there was no reportable action. We'll address the members correct. It's at the discretion of the board in terms of how you handle motions and how you take public comment. The members correct that you get a motion before you take action. You seek public comment. Motions can come at any time, and there's no real way for the chair or anybody to know when the motion may or may not come. You take the motion, you take the second before taking action that would ask for further discussion and public comment.
And I thank you for that. I just want to comment. Sometimes making the motion moves things along a little quicker.
Yeah, thanks for the feedback. Any other things to report, Council? Yeah. Any further committee updates? All right. Correspondence. I'd like to
have a quick discussion here. Mr. Richardson has some discussion or comments regarding item N1. Mr. Richardson, please.
This is on the agenda for discussion and possible action. I know that for correspondence, you don't normally have a discussion in action necessarily, but if you're going to discuss N1, I'd like to hear what your discussion is, and then if necessary, then I could make my comments. But if you're not going to discuss it at all, then I would make my comments.
Are you
going to discuss it?
I think that it's already been covered here. I don't have any more discussion on it now.
I'm sorry.
I don't have any more discussion on that item.
There's not going to be any discussion?
Not that I'm aware of. If any board members like to discuss item N1. Okay. I think it was a good letter. And, it's no problem.
Have
you read the letter?
Have
you read the letter?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah. Please give us some feedback.
This particular issue is of enormous importance to us and the Delphed. And I think what we got here from an agency that I never heard of, I don't know who the California Natural Resources Agency is. I never heard of them before I saw this letter. I see at the bottom of the letter all of those organizations in the state listed, and I guess they're a part of that agency. But this organization is new to me, number one. Number two, the letter is a brush off of the letter that you sent to the governor. He's just saying, go away, don't bother us. And I wondered if the board was going to leave it at that. I wondered if there is still someone coordinating the responses of all of the different towns and cities on the Delta that have complained about this, and I believe have written letters in the past. I wondered if they all got a go-away letter like this one. And if those letters were being given to, I believe it was Supervisor Peeble, who was heading up this effort, possibly a lost cause, but I don't think that we should accept it as a lost cause. The letter itself is somewhat disturbing. In the next to the last paragraph, it says that they will be undergoing rigorous environmental review to ensure that its implementation will not produce the negative effects mentioned in your letter. My experience with environmental reports is you in advance identify what the potential problems are environmentally, and then you take mitigating measures for that. This is kind of indicating that they don't even know what the environmental impacts are going to be. At least that's what I read from the letter. And the last thing that I wanted to mention, with all of that summarizing, I hope you don't let this go. I hope you exert a lot of effort on this subject. I don't remember much discussion in the all of the efforts leading up in the last several years to the plan that I think they're shoving down our throats, desalinization you mentioned. And nobody seems to be mentioning that now. And I'm not an expert in this area, but if all of the money spent on what they're going to do to the Delta was spent on desalinization in Southern California, the Delta would be left alone and they would get the water that they need. And it seems to me that desalinization has just been lost by the wayside. Thank you.
Yeah, we're still going to be vigilant on this issue, and we're still...
I couldn't hear you.
It's okay, we're still going to be vigilant on this whole issue, and it's a daily concern of mine and the town, and we're going to continue on that. And this, we're not going to accept this answer right now. Okay. It's not acceptable. We'll continue to work with the rest of the counties and the organizations out here, and we're going to join forces, and that's the best we can do.
Thank you.
Just for board information, my other capacity as counsel for San Joaquin Council of Governments that formed the San Joaquin County Delta Coalition group. It's an entity working to deal with not only the Bay Delta Conservation Plan, but also the Peripheral Canal. The California Natural Resources Agency is the agency. It is a state cabinet-level agency that's responsible for all of those agencies you see listed there, including the Coastal Commission, Delta, and Boating Waterways. It's my understanding that the environmental impact report the environmental impact report is out in draft form. It is on the Bay Delta Conservation Plan website now. It's in draft form, so is the Bay Delta Conservation Plan, as well as the Peripheral Canal Plan. The documents are due, we anticipate, to be final in December. Everybody's anticipating we're going to get them December 20th, so we all have a nice Christmas present. That's what they've done the last couple of years, but December 20th is the anticipated date. There are some documents that are coming out late October, and we'll have at least a 45-day comment period. But John Laird is the head of the California Department of Natural Resources, and he's heading up this cause on behalf of the governor.
Thanks for that clarification update on that. All right. Anyway, we'll move on with correspondence here. Any public records requests? No, okay. Any future agenda items? Director Madison?
No.
Vice President Graves? Okay. This time I'd like to adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much.